So Jenny is
Love
on.
Talk Radio.
No. Okay, it's on mute. Yeah.
Can you all hear me, huh?
Oh. Okay, so what do I initially say when the show begins? Oh, okay. Okay, so what do I do about the white screen here that says switchboard, you and the colors will appear here? Do I press that red X? No, it says next. And then another one says click next. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I hope so. I hope I can retain that layer because I was stressed that I'm going to. Okay. Well, I'll trust you on that one. Speeding light post. I don't see it. Oh, yeah. I see it now. Okay. What? What? Okay, so introduction now? Okay. Well, greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Friday, December 4th, 2020. I have Sunupa Bluhamani, co-host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, every Friday and Saturday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. He brings guests on from various Native tribes and states to talk about Native culture and issues among tribes and the oppressors of the country's reservations. Here, Strongheart Dog Soldiers will introduce their lives, work with a prayer, and end in song. Welcoming again co-host Sunupa Bluhamani and guests. Sunupa?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Let me open up with a prayer, and it's great to hear everybody tuning in, some that are coming late in. Don't forget, folks, again, the radio show acknowledges you once you introduce yourself and let us know what state you're from. So I'm going to start off with a Lakota prayer for all of us that are tuned in. Ho tonkashila wa kantanka kichu manetu. Ompetu waste uyakob yulkan wopila tanke e chiche. Dakulena oyate ki iwogla ka nie chetke honi api. No unchi makaki anabak tel yakpa api ku unchi. Ha iwan kichu na unkai tapo. Unsha ake lechus e kche chasha na okola kichi ki lena ptalo hina jibna. Taku lena ablezi okte ki woyuk chanki hechus e eni tuwa bi. Good evening, and for the listening audience, that was our opening prayer to begin with on every level what's going on in Indian country, and I welcome for all our new listeners. You know, my sister Jeannie says she was calling in from Washington, D.C., many others in different states, my brother down in Texas, you know, Pobis, he's supposed to be calling in too, so if they're on, I really appreciate you guys acknowledging yourself, or if you want to listen on, you go right ahead. And for others that are tuning in, please introduce yourself. And as I started off with an open prayer, that's how we do that amongst the Dog Soldier Society. I'll wheel it back to you, Sister Bernice.
I don't know what's going on with Bernice, but this is Jenny calling in from Northwest Montana, from the Kani Nation, also known as Blackfeet. Well,
glad to hear you. Glad to hear you. Well, maybe you might want to start off with something that you might have witnessed or something where we left off from previous, you know, understandings that came forward about a week ago or so, and some that did not fulfill, you know, their positivity in the direction we're all going with. So if you don't mind, go right ahead, Jenny. I'll open it up to you. Thank you. I hope.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of different issues and concerns that were spoken on the last interview Saturday. So, you know, a lot of it, when you listen to it from other people out there and you understand it, you know, what they're saying and what, but the hard part is, of all of it, is we all understand something of it. We all want to, and we all have different experiences that we might have faced with the system that we basically looking at all the time. If you're paying attention, if you're awake, you always understand, you know, what's going on. So we know that it's, you know, taking place in history. We know that, you know, it's going on today, and we all have a different feeling about it. For myself, I always look at, you know, the protection part of it. We know all this is taking place. There's abuse here, abuse there, you know, all the human rights violations that people speak about, civil rights and what. And all of it is all about, to me, it's about death all the time. It's never about just living. This whole system is just created for death all the time, it feels like. With me, myself, what I went through with it at a young age, to the education system, It made me hate them. It made me hate the people in those schools that teach all of it to us. Because there was abuse in there. Myself and my brothers and sisters. And that's why I knew from a young girl at that young age, like 7, 8 years old or so, that it wasn't for us. It wasn't for me anyway. And going through it. Through all your life, you go through, you experience all these different things that was already here before you even came into this world. I always feel that way, you know. Why are we the blame for all of this? When we're trying to still learn what happened, understand what happened, and what is our rights as a human today? What type of rights do we have, or what is left of our rights?
Because if we don't understand our rights, then how are we going to understand to teach our children their rights or to protect them with them rights? So I hear a lot of it, you know, from different people. Like, oh, we like repeat goes over and over and over and over and over. And us as who we are trying to find that knowledge that we need to know, you know, even to understand all of it too. So we have, supposedly there's teachers out there, you know, traditional teachers. I more look at that than the education that's going on today, because I feel as a weapon to destroy us, like it was always already said. And well, we look for all these answers for, you know, our people. But then even when we're looking at our own people, we see all that division, all of that hatefulness, that jealousy, and always trying to target somebody, harass them, or bring something out on them, and what, you know. And that, to me, that's not our way. Well, if they really understood it, then they wouldn't do something like that, huh? You don't do things like that. So that's how we know that we're from our way of doing things the right way that was given to our people, our grandpas and all that. You know, they didn't carry on like the way that people do today. So I see a lot of that now. You know, and then we're still every day trying to find the answers for ourselves and our people. How do you survive this chaotic world that we're experiencing today? How do you know that you're, how far your life and the rest of life is going to go? Because they're always trying to get rid of us. So those are a lot of people questions today. I call them people questions because it's not only one asking us. But we feel at times we don't get the right answers, even though we're trying to ask for those right answers, we don't get them. So it leaves us kind of like in wonders every day, or people just kind of give up and, you know, don't even pay attention to it anymore. They just don't care. Then we have the ones that try to run our people by this government tribal system, and you go to them, you know, ask them, and they don't want to hear you. You know, they're busy doing all this stealing and lying. So it's a lot of questions. A lot of questions, and that's what I want to hear today. You know, I want to listen too. I don't want to hear what it really is. Who would we close to really be as the people who we say we are right now? So that's my start out conversation. Wherever somebody else wants to put in, they have an answer to it.
You know, Jenny, I do agree with you on a Richter scale from 1 to 100. It fits the 100 category. The reason for that, Chinupa has always been involved with many, many, you know, independent activities. Also, during the time when I was, you know, 13 years old in the Wounded Knee Takeover in 1973. And then at the age of 10, when Bob Yellowbird Still challenged that cement corporation in Crawford, Nebraska, where they tried to turn it into a cement corporation, where that's the murder site and the death site of our fearless leader, Crazy Horse, and that's where the Cheyenne outbreak began. And these are the things that really touch me historically because of those direct encounters of being involved with the modern settings of what our people went through, past and present. And being part of with the 1973 takeover of Wounded Knee, many people say that. Oh, I'm an AIM veteran, I'm this, I'm that, you know, but that's just flabbergasting. I say that because I was in there. I lived it in there. I stayed up with everything that was important to the needs of what our people went through, past and present. But overall, we never, ever turned our back on our brothers and sisters, our elderly, and the children that participated in 1973's occupation. That standoff drew so much publicity. And lo and behold, folks, as years transpired from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I became the personal bodyguard for one of the, you know, leading American Indian Movement leaders, the late Russell Means. And I and Russell did a lot of tremendous stuff together. As a good example, I wanted to kind of address something to the listening audience. When the Declaration of Independence that the Lakota created in 1973 during that occupation of Wounded Knee's takeover, we did it under the leadership and the direction of our great-grandfather, Chief Frank Fools Crow, and our leading, you know, role model of that 73 seeds, Russell Means. And they had possession of certain documents that verified the conspiracy by the United States of America's federal government to commit a commission that created forgery in a incapacitating, you know, virtue of treaty signing. And the treaty I'm going to focus on is 1868 Fort Laramie. And so all them understandings that were obligated and, you know, accepted from the Treaty of 1868 were never upkept because of, you know, our involvement in 1973. We were trying to enforce those treaty standards, but this was outright, you know, a violation. The invalidation to that showed that the American system and its military brought into this contention, since the United States military has always used our people to coerce overwhelming, you know, unnecessary deadly force on families of people that camped without protection. Our brothers and sisters might have went out on hunting. They might have went out and picked berries or something back in ancient times. And this is how they neutralized our people to get them to force to put their signatures on this treaty, when in fact, that wasn't the case. You see, that's why using unnecessary deadly force comprised of that arm, you know, they when they had, you know, those automatic rifles, you know, the Winchesters and so forth, they attacked helpless people. And even though they were told to stand under that American flag, they would be protective. No different than my blood people of the Cheyenne, Black Kettle then. What happened? Just about a couple of weeks ago, they had their, you know, the Cheyenne massacre right there in Colorado. And so here's our people being tormented by a lie. And to this day, a lot of our brothers and sisters served those military brigades, my grandfather included, because my grandfather was the one that told me never to join the white man's brigades. And so I stayed listening to the heart of my grandfather and became the traditional leader of the Chuntet Inza Okola Kiche, better known as the Strongheart Dog Soldier Society here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And during that seize's takeover, that seize created such a turmoil where to this godforsaken day in the year 2020 here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, you know, December 4th, 2020, you can see history failing the purpose of how these tribal governments do not protect and serve the people. Now, anybody can beg to differ and try to coordinate a direct, you know, understanding to it. But when you look at the times that we've forced, you know, understandings to be brought forth, the original people that created this was the people that had a language that opened the door what we went through in the 21st century. And this is how a lot of them left us, merely because no one, I repeat, no one can ever recognize that the Lakota were an independent nation state. God, that is sad, but true. And even in ancient times when the Iroquois Confederacy, they had the same thing, an independent nation state. They had that status under international law prior to how treaties were signed, and that status or status remains, you know, in effect. And this is where our people become very municipal to that, because various lesser known of certain people that did not participate in these things were the reasons why that you still can hold the job and get a job on the reservation and off the reservation for the sacrifices we all did to force the system to recognize you for employment and education. Without any of that, there would be no tool that you could learn how to operate from the independent nation state status that the Western Hemisphere had amongst North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, and Nebraska. Those were part of the great Sioux Nation back in the days when those treaties of 1851 and all the other ones that implemented that understanding. But keep in mind, folks, when my late brother and, you know, the personal man that I served passed on, the late Russell Means, him and Chanupa Gruha Money began working on a separate approach achieving that independence for the Lakota people. And that statement of withdrawal allowed us to stand on the obligation of the failure of those treaties, because we were all declared an independent nation state. That's why the five tri-state areas, as just mentioned, again, I'll mention it again, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, and Nebraska, those are what they really call the real independent traditional native territories. And when I reflect back to that, I will always reflect to what my grandfather had implemented back in the days when Russell and them guys were all in their prime, myself included. I was in my early teens, 13 years old, listening to them. But prior, before that, when I was 10 years old, Grandpa and them used to tell me this. Duat hoksa timahiu hanta ikile awanchi galaka inila yaunkte. Meaning, if another nation of a man or a woman come into our home, watch your mouth and be quiet. And so I could always reflect to when Grandpa, my great-grandfather, Shante Ohitika Wichasha, also, you know, he had a white term, Roy Stanislaus Martin, he used to talk about what they called the 1840 independent, you know, unrecognized territory. What did he mean by the unrecognized territory? He talked about all the people that were still living in those areas, from the Nez Perce to the Blackfeet to the Shoshone to the Crow, the Teton, the mighty Tetuan, the Sioux, the Cheyenne, our brothers and sisters, the Arapaho, the Kiowa, the Comanche. These were people that held off the great fights when the white man was coming across the Mississippi and Missouri River. And when they entered this area, they were met by resistance. So Grandpa and them talked about that unrecognized territory. And all those tribes I just mentioned, Comanche, the Apache, the Kiowa, the Cheyenne, the Arapaho, the Teton Lakota, the Crow, the Blackfoot, and the Nez Perce, and the Shoshone. These were people that still held out and protected their traditional homeland at all means necessary. But you'll never hear all of these treaty people and international people talk about these virtues, because they're stuck on how America practiced and perfected colonial policies to neutralize your ability to think freely. That's sad, but true. And I will add this to it. In Lakota, the Oyate said this at one time, and I remember I was a young boy. I was 9 years old when this came about, and I remembered all the ancient ones expressed their intellectual communication to it, because it was done merely in the language of what we still have as traditional people.
And so with that understanding, I'm going to share it this way, folks. Ehani kunkasila waakile waon spekilina oyate wichakupi. Hohe chuhan taku iwogalakab hehan otana taku pasisak tekile etchet chokatak ya makhan kata eginan kapi. Na oyate chokchak wonach unkilina ablezapi na chunyapi na wankapi insian opkapi. Hochokat chanki kiwanji yusloham hehan oyate chokchak hena etcha chokasila metraki na oyate unkit chopi le lakotaki hena etcha wichat chopi. So we try to buy a home, trokatakia, matro wambly. Now, I see you try to get Frank Fusco, Matthew King, Roy Martin, Thomas Eagle Fox, Paulie Little Spotted Horse, Guy Dullknife Sr., and Ellis Head. And now we try to wakanki lena echa, taku pasisab heha. Trokatakia oyateki lena nach izibno oichakiapi. Hohetaha tak shisha, dueni trokta lechus ubna apachbab okishni. Hohena walks up a yanke. Homale tu trokta au heha, lechus ake kusha nunzipi. Naetaha ake matro wambly, Eagle Bear, Frank Fusco, na oyate wachimpi. Oyate wachimpi, he Russell means it. Hena etcha wasloi kilena pasloha pinaha, trokata kia oyate glena, oicha kia pina zania, makhan kata kusha inerzipi. Hohetaha, taku trokchak hena pasisab heha, wea etchetia, hena wichayu kabna, hohetaha wea, ha eapi, etaha wichasa lena trokata kia yabna, he kusha egna kapi. Ho hena etcha wop ketranki ke na hanki lakhoto oyate na oyate troksag lena you happy woyuk sanki he. He lila sutana wash ake hechus e chonupa wakhan aikwake. As one e tu isam le trokata ke opan he nupia ake nupa ohina zipigi wabla ziki lena e aktiza. Na we chok on kitropi luhaya skatapi. He un chatagni washte. Iglecha unkokichni. Kaksa eugna kabna wasloik lena lohak te hunter. Doni chanupa kilena anapta oyakik disni. Na yuhaya skate oyakik disni. Na otach oluspa oyakichni. Hena okitrop, hena we are tropi. Chanupa ki hena. As wana you troksab to wasituna. Dwek as hena oispa na yuhaskatab na lakota ki hena echa. Kolawi chapta oetaha we chak. Hena was tesne mitak yepi. Che ichuha uchi makhaki le, wonach unki le nach unye ki hena sloye, na wankatak ya, wakhatkhanka ki chi mane, tu isha wasloye ki le na isha sloyapi, na hutopab na ha, wiaka oyat isha. Na tchatiya topa ki hena isha wonach ijubo ki, he uncha tchate ki he woblu asna, na hena isha le wapche ki le na iyatsipi. Kya hechins e chanupa glaha mani lechins e wola kote e chetka wochi chaka. Ho etaha ieska wankte. What I said in the language of giving more of this understanding and that thought process of how our people did it, many people that were born in the late 1800s and the early 1900s or no more made this understanding more importantly and more appropriately to focus and keep our independence structured within the sacred pipe structure of living amongst our women. And the only way our men could ever make a traditional decision, it was up to the women to tell them what to do. That's how we became matriarchal people. And we're all supposed to be thinking like that. It's all matrilineal. A woman tells the man what to do. But because we've been crossbred with the way white men do things, we'll take the sacred pipe and we'll give it to a white man. We'll take all these things that are part of our way of life and we'll never give it to our own, but we give it to the opposite race. And I'm talking about the white race. This is why we become a failure within our own. And so in the words of the white people, they keep taking control of an unnecessary initiative to initiate action to stop us from moving ahead. And so the elders once talked about that 1840 territorial unrecognized boundary. Again, territorial unrecognized boundary. That was where the states like the five I mentioned, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Nebraska, were never recognized as states of union. God, man, folks, come on, wake up and help me out here. I can't do this by myself. And when you see those measures from the territorial boundaries of that, you know, geographical borders, excuse me, you will see that that land and the areas that were gifted to us by the great mystery, the animal nation and Mother Earth, we still occupied them freely and independently. There was no encounter of negativity until that white man crossed the Mississippi River and the Missouri and forced all of that heinous behavior to neutralize our people. And they did it by two things. Lying to our people, which the white man still do today in 2020, and then also getting our people intoxicated, getting us drunk. And so they didn't have to use a gun to make them sign these treaties when it came. They were lied to, and that's how they were pushed into making these treaties. They will never, ever live up to those agreements. And the racism that is endeavored by the white man, they never had independence to begin with. They never had. Don't forget, the white race was an ex-con people. They were people that were locked up and boarded those four ships, the Pinta, the Mina, the Santa Maria, and the Mayflower. They came here with all these ex-cons as a workforce, which destroyed all our eastern tribes out there, from Maine to Florida and inward, when you go as far as, you know, the Mississippi area, Illinois, you know, Kentucky, Tennessee, Delaware, all the places that had populated indigenous people are no more. And the Western Hemisphere, on the other hand, the mountain dwellers and prairie dwellers, we are the only ones still in existence with that purity. And that's sad but true. And the reason why I say it that, it's like a traditional piece of bitterroot. The sourness of that bitterroot is your medicine. Drink it and swallow it, and you can chew it and eat it. That's what we forget as traditional people. And so answering that Lakota virtue, our elders from Grandpa Frank Fusco, from Grandpa Roy, Grandpa Ellis Head, Thomas Eagle Fox, you know, Uncle Guy Dollknife Sr., all of these grandpas that I mentioned, made a real strong, the independent standard and stood on that provision. Matthew King, remember, Matthew King and my Grandpa Roy Martin were Chief Frank Fusco's interpreters. And the reason for that was because the experiences that they had with, you know, understanding the evil, you know, behavior of the white race. And all them other tribes had the similar belief in their own traditional mechanism in their territories where they live, you know, where they lived. And it's always been a matriarchal system that's matrilineal, where the women told the men what to do. And with that, I open it back up to the listening audience to add on to where I left off, or to add on what they feel in their heart has to be the keynote to our future, as that history right there is prevailing us to move forward into the 22nd doorway to the future of independence.
Chinupa, this is Bernice. So maybe you can tell our listening audience and those Native Americans that really don't know where to start, how to get all of this started, so that we... Chinupa?
Yeah, I'm listening.
So how can you...
I'm listening if you still can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. So maybe you can tell the listening audience, those that really, like our younger generation, they're not aware because of all of the social...
Hello? Can anybody else hear me? Like Chinupa's voice went silent.
Yeah. Can you hear me again?
Yes, I can hear you again now.
I wonder how come that's going on. But maybe you can tell the listening audience how to get that started, because I know that it's really deeply ingrained in our culture now, this dominant way of thinking and their religion and everything else that comes along with that dominance and that white supremacist kind of like attitude and mentality. Can you tell the younger generation how they can get started on taking back that
yes.
power within themselves?
Yes, I will do that. Today's generation lack one important utmost importance of what's happening in their lives. They're forgetting to understand mom and dad's principles as a family unit.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is everything earthly that you're a part of at home, amongst your family, is an understanding of how tradition and culture is being brought up. But this is where the but is very, you know, unholy.
Mm-hmm.
The behavior to that is what you want to go after right away, whether it's a computer, nice car, games, whatever, okay? You think that's a necessity and something that has to be brought into your life as a cultural upbringing, but the values mom and dad are trying to teach you, whether you listen to mom and dad, for gaining some kind of input of great intentions of loving you as parents. You don't want that because the fast life, what America has done, as I've always said this in the past, if you pick up the traditional elements of what's missing in your home, then and only then can you want more. It's like food. What you really like when your mother prepares it or your father or both parents together. And they prepare this traditional food for you and it tastes so nourishing. If you take one bite of that, you're going to want more. And as you grow with that, it's not a disillusion of grandeur. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is to give you that challenge to know on behalf of our people that this food that we're giving you, which is knowledge, is good to consume. And statistically, that category that we all live in that percentage of radio, the future of material lifestyle, that's not a culture, and most definitely it's not a way of life. You can
mm-hmm.
do that, children. You can. The youth, you can make these happen without the needs of drugs, alcohol, sociological deformatory, and sensitism. You don't need them. And this hateful behavior that Americans have put upon us, the white race, that's what we're all living. That's an inadequate behavior because of how the economic and social conditions are forced upon us because we don't want to be who we are as them red people, as I mentioned. And I could only refer to those great nations, the Blackfoot, the Nez Perce, the Shoshone, the Crow, the Arapaho, the Cheyenne, the Teton, Lakota, the Kiowa, and Apache, and Comanche. Those nations that your blood of the Western Hemisphere, of this northern region, are the reasons why you can
sit in these positions and be media folk or have a job to flip hamburgers at some fast food joint or pour coffee in some cafe around Indian country. But keep in mind, the youth, the youth have been failing that mechanism because you are preconditioned by an environment that doesn't allow you to think for yourself and be free and independent. This is why we struggle with this. And you do want it. That ploy is yours. That's the challenge. Like I've always said, listening audience, I've said this to many people throughout my time on this earth at the age of 63. Just because it looks like an Indian and sounds like an Indian doesn't mean it's an Indian. What am I referring to by those three cliches? These three cliches mean that in yourself, your individual self, whether you're male or female, you have to look at what that inner self wants in order for it to free itself. I refer that to my brother Daryl Nohart of the Hunkpapa Nation from Standing Rock, who educated himself on his own. And that documentary that we created back in 2013 called Red Cry, he was part of that. And so what I've learned to understand, Daryl was his philosophy on a little criteria that is very, very costly and effectively. He drew a feather in this bottle. And there was the picture of a Native brother in that feather in that bottle. And on the bottom it said, get the warrior out of the bottle. While that same type of cliche is aimed at the atrocities that white America has done. Remember, they are the first immigrants and settlers that brought all that heinous behavior and forced it upon the aboriginal people of this continent of Turtle Island. Okay? Yes. That's what people don't want to get into. They failed that. So that exile underneath that, they never talked about treaties. And most of all they knew how to live under was independence. That was the freedom of how our people roamed this great country of ours. Now imagine this, folks, as a median of incomes, okay? If you take a people away from their food source, and all the stuff that is so nourishing to them, you can kill them by a sociological and economic condition. Make sense? Yes, it does. Those are important matters in that political realm that create cultural genocide perpetuated amongst the white race. Now, there is a mechanism out there that other countries hold America accountable for, and people don't even want to try it. It's never a first until we try it. And it's called propadiate fundamental practice. What does propadiate mean? It's stronger than genocide. A guy named Raphael something with his last name, I can't remember, that he written the understandings about how genocide was to take place and implemented when people forced themselves on that. But to this day, our people still don't do it. We talk this, we talk that, but we're never even making them, move to exercise them. Now, propadiate fundamental practice was created by all them other tribes and countries outside our waters because they held America and Great Britain accountable for all their heinous behavior afflicted upon people of color because of their earthly minerals in the territories and lands they lived in. No different than Rome, the Greeks, Mesopotamia, and the Mediterranean. All of these people over there were barbaric. They loved to kill. That's just the name of the game for them. And I only say that as an explanation when I say that's the name of the game for them. They perpetrated this behavior to neutralize your inherent power connected to the earth by creating what is theirs. Even this language I'm using belongs to them. I prefer to use my own. That's the honorable way. That's why the white man could never figure us out. And so all these wars that he created from World War I, World War II, Korean conflict, all of these little islands and then Vietnam and all the way up to Desert Storm and the invasion of, you know, all these other countries, Panama, you know, where my little brother Carlin Red Blanket went to, you know, Grenada and Beirut. These were created for them to go after their earthly minerals. And the white man is a good liar, folks. This is how people are afraid to tell him that. Universal. But them other countries, they stood together to hold that man accountable. Why do you think the Soviet people, the Russian people, were the very first ones to file a genocide complaint against the Americas? And that's still in existence. So if the youth today can open up their hearts and allow their brain to be controlled by their heart, they can get back into the traditional element of understanding and comprehending all of this from a full impact of what your people give you. And then I would no longer have to say this. Just because it looks like an Indian, sound like an Indian, it doesn't mean it's an Indian. Just because you look at it. I mean, analyze those words. Really analyze them. Or you can even analyze them. Analyze and analyze them, okay? Just because it looks like an Indian and sounds like an Indian doesn't mean it's an Indian. An Indian, and that's only a crass term. That's what America, because when he was lost, you know, when them Spaniards came over here, you know, Christopher Columbus, he thought this was the East Indies. He was lost, so that's how we got that name. But lo and behold, and after all this stuff was done, when you get back into that territorial understanding, which is relevant to the conclusion of what my understanding is at Sister Bernice's request, you will see that our youth have forgotten who they are and where they're going. And that where they're going is the lack of the participation of knowledge that people like myself and many others, past and present, left with us. And you keep skirting the other way because everything the white man created is easy. Think about it. That's what makes you all spiritually lazy. You all become spiritually lazy because even the white man, he don't give thanks. Go to a drive-thru in America, which is a crass term to my country, Turtle Island. But go through a drive-thru and order something on that menu, okay? And because that disillusion of grandeur is in your vision, when you order whatever meal it is, you're not going to give thanks. You're going to start eating it right away. They give it to you. That's how Americans are. They become spiritually lazy, and now the rest of them are. Does that make sense? Yes, it does. That's a political and cultural genocide perpetrated by white Americans. And they continue to do that. They bastardize the issues of how humanity is supposed to serve them. And I answer that with the most important understanding because I'm not denying you kids an understanding to pick up. It's in your heart and then it's in your blood. But the problem with it is you don't want to recognize it and wake it up. Back to you, Sister Bernice.
Oh, thank you. So I really appreciate that explanation, and I hope that helps the younger generation out there, and I hope there's a lot of young people listening. We have two new callers in, 605-200 and area code 508. Could you come online and introduce yourself? Okay, 605-200 and area code 508. Could you introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, this one's Leona. I don't know who the other one is.
Oh,
I know
okay.
One of them, that 200 prefix is my little brother, Bryce Inglewood.
Hi, Bryce.
Chauncey, you there?
Nobody is answering.
Yeah.
So is there anybody else that
wants to say
something or bring another subject up?
You have a
Jenny,
lot of echo on there,
Jenny. Of echo on there.
I know, I hear it.
I know, I hear it.
Leona, how can I get rid of it? Okay, testing. Okay, no more echoing.
Yeah, I'm still here with you. Okay, Bryce, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's this yin and yang, you know, of life, of good and bad, and hard and soft. And like the doing a new party, just how we are here now. New people, I'm blocking it. When she cookies get used to it, I'm on it. It was still used to it. If the song is Sakura Hiki, I'm back to when I woke like a bitch. You know, when the when our Pesami came, those two scouts, you know, one was sinking good and the other one was sinking thirsty. You know, the male drive, you know, just looking at that Wakan, we are, you know, in the way that everybody faces that duality of choice that we have. The two-leggeds are the only ones that have that choice. The Omankashka and the all the living creatures, even the medicines, they have a natural law that they live by. And that natural law is being destroyed because of the two-legged with our choices. We either choose good or we choose bad. And we're the only ones that have that. So the attitude that mankind has, we need to start thinking more of the good things to get accomplished. Because right now it's dominated by corporate America. So just corporations are considered human beings, you know, two-legged, the spirit, because of a Supreme Court, Citizens United. So these corporations that are continually destroying nature, the land, air, and water, and life forms, that's that same attitude of hatred and racial discrimination. These real negative attitudes and outputs. Ever since that bombing of that federal building down in Oklahoma, killing children, they cracked down on these hate groups, these white supremacists, KKK, Aryan, all these Nazis, you know, all these white hate groups. They knocked them down. But ever since Obama got in there, they built their forces up 8 years. Now they got behind Trump with the Nazi flags and the Southern flag and perpetrating that hate wherever they go, carrying guns and playing soldiers in the streets, you know, killing people. And these hate groups, they have an origin, you know, origin. So the Nazis got beat in World War II. So why in the heck are they flying Nazi flags here in America? And the Southerners, the white against white brothers killing each other that got to free the slaves when they were fighting for their freedom. You know, and our history goes way beyond that. But ever since they brought this desecration of the land, we have to deal with that now, because the ocean, the air, the land, everything is being affected by these bad choices from corporations. And usually corporations are the ones that start these wars, because of corporate America running D.C. That has to end now. And the way they get away with it is this hate and discrimination. And, you know, so if you look at the Vatican, they have a white pope who's a Jesuit. And if you know the Jesuit oath, it's one of extreme prejudice. And it's killing with extreme prejudice, that oath, in Jesus' name. So you have a black pope who also takes that oath, a Jesuit oath. So in the 1960s, it parallels with what's happening to our people here in America, 1913, 1920s, 1930s, even up to 1960 when this was supposed to be revealed. It was a prophecy that was supposed to be revealed in 1960. Instead, what took place at the Vatican in Rome was they set a throne for Lucifer in Vatican II. So again, the yin and yang, you know, the manifestation of good and evil and hate and extreme prejudice, you know, by oath. So if we know these roots of the problem, then our people went to the Vatican to have the papal bulls revoked. The papal bulls created an insane genocide upon the Western Hemisphere people. And at that time, it was all indigenous people. That's what I'm talking about. So there's no more secrets now. There is a Vatican II that has the throne of Lucifer, and there is a white pope that proclaims Jesus Christ in the flesh. So the World Executive Committee and the World Churches, in 2012, they revoked the Doctrine of Discovery through the papal bulls, 1490s. So those are the root of the written word that has created this hate element and war. And these forces like Lucifer, they gain power over these battlefields when they're killing women and children like Wounded Knee. That's where they gain their satanic, demonic power. And on the other side of the coin, the side of light and righteousness and goodness and Wakanda, that has to manifest now. And the leadership, hopefully the leadership now in America, will finally bring the truth out and the manifestation and make these hate groups disappear again like they did in the mid-90s when they were bombing federal buildings and killing children. And that was just the front, the arm of it, the fingers of it, but the body of it was still, the head of it is still alive. So these things must come to an end now. This hatred and racial discrimination and the persecution and murder, even now. So the best thing is for the United States to finally recognize these white hate groups as a terrorist group now. No more cross burning and hanging anybody from the trees and walking away with no charges, nothing. You know, so that duality in the law must have justice now. And that justice comes with wisdom and truth. And the truth will always prevail. So that's what we're looking at now, finally, hopefully, is to know where the root of all these problems are and if the written word has to address them, then those words have to be written to address it. I'll hit you there.
Thank you, Brian.
As many people that are listening in, you know, when Chinupa and his little brother, Bryce Underwoods, come on, we give you guys a real vast variety of what America has done through the conspiracy to commit murder, okay? And we try to acknowledge our side of things because that's the way indigenous people been living since the beginning of time. One thing I will make it clear, folks, what my little brother is talking about is that when this Vatican implemented these legal qualities, I call them legal qualities, this is just an understanding to interpret that pertains to their behavior. Again, I'm going to say it. An occupied state can never, ever be enslaved by independence and freedom. And so that's why we're still under an occupation threat by the American system. Don't ever forget that young woman that made that damn flag for these people, Betsy Ross. They made that flag, and to this day, in 2020, people are still bastardizing that. They use it, okay? I took the flag away on the streets of Rapid City this summer because of these white folks telling our people to go back to the reservation when they forget one thing. America is one big Indian reservation.
That's,
I mean,
right.
How can you produce that high quality of something that you never hear? You will never see any person of color invade the white man's country. And if they did, show me where there's written proof where we forced our language upon them. It'll never be seen. It'll never be done. This is why our people are so domiciled with this behavior by teaching the white man the wrong thing. And he's teaching our culture to him. And this is how they keep doing that. That's why the behavior of the Vatican keeps holding that principle as an invitation to neutralize human rights. Folks, we have to really look at it completely from a big perspective of a picture. My little brother Bryce just gave you an understanding about how white supremacy began. And when they had the war against the South, okay, don't forget there was a war before that when they used the Iroquois people to fight for them. And then they turned around and took all their livelihood and their territorial base. So what did they do? They fled to Canada. And over there, the indigenous people are facing the same thing. And that's not the type of negativity we've had. No, that was a favorable support that we all lived by back in ancient times. And so when me and the late Russell Means and also the late Lehman Brightman challenged the imperial, you know, positions of the white race, we were challenging them by all we want is to be free and left alone. But our people still can't get that. But when you create that involvement of that structure as a branch of measure independently, you will free yourself. And this is how we've done it since time immemorial. And we're not doing that. And evil's going to constantly stay here because, as I said earlier when Sister Bernice was asking me to talk about an understanding that can get the children to pay attention to this, we have become spiritually lazy when it comes to eating or even drinking water. Remember, long time ago, I remember this as a kid. My grandma used to tell us kids to go outside because we only had one sister. And she would take a bowl of water and face the east. And just as the sun hit the ray of the earth, she made my little sister, my baby sister Carmen, spill it out and offer that water to the sun. Umpowi. Miniki papsu na hohetaha wa blezikile chante unkupi. Meaning that we had a connection
to hit that sun and pour that water to give us that blessing of nourishment. We don't do that anymore. Which, in turn, what Sister Bernice was talking about, if we have to go back to follow those instructions the way our grandmothers, our moms, and grandfathers had illustrated it for us, this is how we can free ourselves. What did my little brother say? My little brother Bryce talked about chanupawaka, okay? The only way a chanupawaka works is when you really use it. You can carry it, you can have it on your desk, you can put it away in your home and all that stuff, but it's never going to work. It's going to sit there until you're ready to use it to wachekia, meaning pray. You see, that's why people say that all the time. It's a falsified implementation to it because of how America bastardizes Christianity. Well, I was saved by Calvary's cross because of Jesus Christ shedding blood for my sins. Nah, I disagree. Because Christ don't belong here. Christ belongs over there across the water in his own country, where he's from. Over here, the sacred pipe is what takes care of the earth here in our country of Turtle Island. Kea in our language means turtle. Daku iwogla kok tekilena echa, you talk sham na otchana lechun se oni chapsni. Meaning that this way of life that they bastardize, they're like a white man when they explain it, but they can never put it the way the turtle people once did it. And this is why we're seeing these things happen, unfold traditional elements of our animals and things of the great colors, red, yellow, white, and black. All of those sacred animal colors are coming back, and they add on the other three that's missing, which is the green and the blue and the gray. Those colors are make the sacred seven, right? Red, yellow, black, and white, the green, the blue, and the gray. The sacred seven. Get it? Those are what created this life. And today we're not paying attention to that. And so I answered that with my brother Bryce, and I really love my brother Bryce's input because him and I got together many, many years ago, and we've done things in our own capacity. And we kept our mouth shut from the things that we've been involved in. I know it, and he knows it. We still are that way, but he's my little brother. I am really honored that on this journey, on this red road that we're facing, the future of independence. I'm glad that me and my little brother continue to share what little knowledge and wisdom we have to help our people pick back up the concerned independence that you still have as a red people. Back to you, little sister.
Thank you, Chanupa. I really enjoy all of your information. I really enjoy and so thankful that you're so informative and you're so full of knowledge. So we have a new caller on the line. It's area code 781. Can you identify yourself, tribe, and what state you're calling from? Area code 781. Okay, well, they're not identifying themselves. So anyway, you mentioned that you had did a video or a film, Chanupa, and it's called Red Cry. Could you, like, briefly tell the audience what that movie is about or that documentary?
Yes, I will. Red Cry was something that every reservation faced in the dilemma of the abuse amongst our elders. And so the elders came to Chanupa and the dog soldiers and asked us for that help. And so we listened to them. And remember, folks, I've always said this to my elders. Why didn't you take it to AIM? Why didn't you take it to the treaty council? Why didn't you take it to the tribal council? And most of all, why didn't you take these issues to the BIA? And all them four entities that were supposed to acknowledge my elders shut the door on them. The reason for that, our elders were very outspoken, like my late grandmother Cecilia, like my late Auntie Lorraine Whiteface. These were people that seen the behavior on all four entities abusing its power through white counterparts of education. And so when they came to Strongheart, me and my members got together and I asked the members, I asked all my dog soldiers, how do you want to take this on to protect and get the voices of our elders out there? And they all looked to me, Shanupa, hey, you're the Itacha. You're the leader. We can help you add on to how you do it, but it's up to you, and we'll follow you, as we always do. I said, okay, but I can't do that. I have to get the okay from the elders. And so Grandma Cecilia and all these other grandmothers that stood together, Aunt Bernice and all the ones that participated in this documentary, they came to us, and we sat down at this little park area on the Pine Ridge here, and they brought kidney, raw kidney, and they fed us that, and we ate, and they asked us as they cried to see what kind of avenue we can hold all four of those entities accountable for the abuse they were inflicting upon our elders. And lo and behold, we took that challenge on. And all four of those entities came at us, from AIM to the Treaty Council to the BIA and the Tribal Council. All four of them came at us, but we still stood and protected our grandmothers. And that documentary, Red Cry, listening audience, please check it out. Please watch it and learn from them grandmas. A majority of them passed on. Even, you know, the late Myrna Youngbear, she passed on. And others that are still there. To this day, in 2020, on December 4th, we Strongheart Dog Soldiers, and many others are still serving that purpose that goes on in the documentary of Red Cry. And this is where you hear all these groups. I'm a Lakota, I'm a warrior, I'm this, I'm that. Miss me with that, because that's flabbergasting. Because if you can't listen to your people and your grandmothers, which are all women, can't tell you what to do, how can you protect them? How can you make those initiatives? You see, I follow under that traditional kinship. I'm only using that term to express it. I follow the Wokachnika amongst my Wia. Oyate, meaning my women, just like my grandmother, my mom, my Aunt Pearl, all of these grandmothers and aunties that showed us so much what was missing, they had the answer and they saw it, because a lot of our people, even to this day, on December 1st, 2020, our elders have been neutralized because of this pandemic and other mechanism that they think is more important to try to house our people by ostracizing them from their traditional practice. But I thank all the grandmas and grandpas that we Strongheart serve, because they keep telling us, as long as you dog soldiers are serving us, we'll continue to depend on you for futures to come. Please don't leave us, Tanupa. You and your dogmen are courageously strong for helping us meet the categories of that picture that we're painting. And let me tell you, that understanding is always, man, honorable when I hear it at the discretion of my people. That's why the documentary of Red Cry was created. And there were young participants either. They were in it too, like Henry Belt and his wife, Angel Corbine. They were in it. There was many others. The Lace Bat family, Auntie, Clara, many others. You know, Aunt Bernice really struck it hard, her and Grandma Cecilia, when they talked about the Aim and Goon days and what was going on. You know, those are the type of information that will help the youth. Please, you don't have to like me in it, and I'm saying that because that's what you all say. Oh, Chinupa shouldn't have been in there. Well, then make one. Make one, and we'll follow you guys. And it's been far too long because a lot of my grandmothers and grandfathers are leaving. Show me what you youth can do. You show me where it has the purity, where it's connecting itself back to the animals and the people in general. Chinupa will sit back and shut his mouth. I'll look to you for the answer. But until that happens, I will continue. And I'm only saying I one time today. I will continue to help you, along with my little brother Bryce and many others, to acknowledge you, to recognize that you need to get out of dormancy. And that not just includes the youth. I mean all listening people. Get back into it. Women, put the dress back on. Women, quit cutting your hair. And you men, get off the sociological deformatory. Quit picking up drugs and alcohol and being verbally abusive to your people, yet alone yourself. This is the only way we can have the authorization to help and serve one another. And until that happens, I'm going to look to you continuously to see if that answer is there. I hope I answered some of that understanding to you and for you, little sister. Back to you.
Yeah, thank you. So you mentioned some of the things, the obstacles that you went through in the beginning. So could you just tell us, touch base a little bit about some of the reasons why the people wanted to stop Red Cry?
One of the things that Red Cry exposed, it exposed how the BIA lacked its behavior, the tribal government, the treaty, you know, participation, and so forth. All of these entities showed, even AIM, where it never ever approached the position to help people. To this day, December 4th, 2020, who's helping who?
Mm-hmm.
You see, that remains a real serious question in Indian country, okay? And you're going to see that camp that just had a fire in the Black Hills. To me, folks, and whether you support it or not, I don't give a shit. And that's not a heinous language to use, shit, because it's about human waste. I do not care about that camp because all they do up there is drink and drug, okay? And nobody's really telling the truth on it. The homeless people come back down to the city of Rapid City and they're tired of being abused by the people up there. But because we can't go participate and see it, they use the internet. That's how they safeguard their position. Now, because of remarks like what I said, in that documentary, Red Cry, all of this stuff is still going on. I mean, haven't we learned the failure of how Standing Rock did it? Standing Rock pulled in all kinds of people over water, okay? Over water. And under the great mysteries, caring heart and his eyes that can look down below, we're still buying water from the white man. Come on, enough already. If you're really protecting the water, why ain't you protecting the women? Because that's where the water came from. It saddens me. Well, that's what Strongheart did to protect the elders. The elders are our wisdom keepers to the future. They're matriarchal. They've been here longer than us. They served here longer than us. And they were born before us. I just got here. I use that term all the time. And I hope, Sister Jenny listened to that part. I always told her that. I said, when she seen me talk at a lot of gatherings, I would tell people, hey, I want to hear that. Why not? I said, because you just got here. It wasn't that they just got here to participate in the meeting. They just got here because of their age capacity. You see, that's how leaders become who they are. That's why grandfather didn't want me to join the white man's brigade. And so Red Cry was demonstrating the behavior of what the conditions were on every said reservation. And those grandmas did it with the knowledge of purity that came from the living of their heart amongst their own people. And when they slowly start passing, where were you on the days when they needed you, when that abuse continued on? And it keeps gotten worse and worse. And one thing I can say about Grandma Cecilia, my mother, Yvonne, and my Aunt Lorraine, and many other grandmas and grandpas that were still alive and passed, they always called Chinupa to participate with them when they went before the BIA and the tribal government, the police department, and AIM. I kid you not. This is why we demonstrate those positions. And people out there forget this. They forget this. That Chinupa Gluhan Muni was actually a Wounded Knee veteran. And later on, I became the personal bodyguard for the late Russell Means. I don't want to hear anybody's story of saying, oh, I was AIM and all. Yeah, you was. But I never was AIM. I supported AIM's activity, but I was always a strong-heart dog soldier, reared up by my grandfather. And that's why I talk highly about my grandpa, because my grandfather is the one that told me to never, ever pick up the white man's way of life, because if you ever do, it's going to be hard for you to put down. He was right. And my grandpa always used this phrase. He said, when you remove a people from the people of the forest become unknown. And what becomes unknown, you want to destroy. Well, that's here. And it's going to continue to stay here until we get back to the basics of our elements of our sacred circle and start protecting our elders and our women and our children. If we're ever going to be grandpas and talk like we're grandpas, well, then we better protect those three entities. And that's how Red Cry demonstrated it, because you can see when you watch Red Cry, there's even little children in it, and mainly women, young and old. And that's why that documentary became a fear base of an understanding that acknowledged their behavior. And lo and behold, even some of the participants in Red Cry turned against us, but we kept going. And I will say this, listening audience, I am working on a new documentary coming out. And I've shared this understanding to Mrs. Jenny Manyhides and my little brother Devin Oldman from Arapaho Country, my brother Max from Lame Deer, Cheyenne Country, and many others. I shared this understanding that Chinupa is in the process of working on a new documentary, and all them names that I asked, and you too, Sister Bernice, you could be part of it too. This new documentary has been exposed something that's going to be very, very fearful against America. And me and my little brother, Bryce, are working steadily on this, because I explained it to him when I had the honor to pierce my little brother at his Sundance, his family Sundance. Mm-hmm. So as time is getting short, I'm going to wheel it back to you, sister, and I hope I answered the question, you know, as perfectly as I could in Red Cry. Back to you.
Yes. Thank you. Jenny, is there anything you want to add to Red Cry and some of the things that Chinupa touched on? And we have 6 minutes and 13 seconds left of the show.
Yes. You know, I told him, this is way before, you know, I even traveled down that area. But I seen that documentary. I watched it. And it made me cry.
Mm.
I cried because I listened to those grandmothers, you know. And all through my life before watching that, I always, you know, wondered why our grandmas, you know, don't talk, you know, about things like that anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I watched that, when it made me cry, I was like, see, these actually grandmothers that are not afraid, you know, to speak up about these things that are real. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it did. And I, you know, got to meet Lorraine, and I talked to Lorraine on the phone all the time, all about, you know, reality about the world that we're living in and what. Besides that, you guys are talking about teaching the youth. Well, I worked at Chumawa Indian School here in Salem. This is 5 years. And I learned there how how I learned myself is how I would like to be talked to as a child. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I learned to talk with them, not against them. Don't blame them. Don't make them feel guilty for anything and everything they've done while they're there. But some of the students came in as just students to come to school. Some were taken away at home and sent out there. Mm-hmm. I never played favoritism with them. To understand them, you have to talk with them, what's in their mind, what they understand. You know? And when you get into the conversations with them, most of them, they want to be who we are. Hmm? They want to know who we are. And that's how I would talk with them. I would share the knowledge that I had about a woman, like in our story, from where we come from, where all the ceremonies came from, was from the woman starting from the beavers, which represents the water spirits. That was a woman that was taken down, and brought back. Because we have the beaver ceremony still. There's one about the bear, how he fell in love with that woman. So we have that connection to the bear. Medicine. Every one of those stories, I talked about medicine that was given to the woman, but from the animals. Right to the Okan. That one talks about a woman that she went across to the spiritual heaven to the camp, but she got lonesome for her family. That's why we have the Okan now. So all of these ceremonies that we're doing to the people up here are all given by a woman, and the animal, or the woman herself. That's where the pipe should be. So we have to keep that going. When I share it with young women, it inspires them. It helps them to understand who we are. Not who they are, who we are. As women right here, And yeah, we were, like Chinupa talks about all, when they start coming, each tribe had a battle with them. Well, we're one of the last tribes that, they had contact with, But we are still at our original territories, original everything. The mountains, our creation stories, everything. But we still have that knowledge. We still have that ceremony that has to keep going.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes left of the show. And is there anything that anybody wants to say, like goodbye or, but we're going to continue tomorrow, December 5th, 2020 at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So if the listening audience wants to tune in, they're more than welcome. But anyway, the show is going to be winding down. We've got 2 minutes left exactly. So is there anything anybody else wants to say quickly?
Don't sound like it.
Go tomorrow. And if more still coming on tonight, and if you have something that say this in closing on my part. I love everybody that our purposes of sharing our intellectual community.
There's static more.
Yeah. This song here is going to be brief. Do it under a minute. And this is a song to all of you in closing. The enemy is probably watching us and listening to us, because every time that happens, right, at the time in every radio show. So this is my song to everybody, and I'll do it under this minute. Watch A-E-I-O-I, watch A-E-I-O-I, watch A-E-I-O-I, watch A-E-I-O-I, watch A-E-I-O-I. So that song is going to everybody, and Sister Bernice, you can close it out whenever you want to. And this is Chinoop. I look forward to seeing you guys and hearing from you tomorrow night. Thank you. It's been a great show. Love y'all.
Thank you. Bernice Seminole, a.k.a. Shetland 307. We're going to be shutting off the air. And thank you for all of the listeners and the participants. I hope you guys have a good night, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Thank you, Bernice. Good night.
Thank you. Bye. So I pushed end episode. Is that correct? I don't see a phone icon on here. Yeah. There is nothing on here like that. There's... Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me go check here. Okay. I don't see... it went good. It went really, really good. I'm just... there was one guy, and, well, one...